planning of the journey, the chairperson of the select committee for appropriations is in Zambia as part of international delegation during the monitoring of the Zambian elections. And he will return on Friday the 23rd of September that week. And the weekend he will go into a short recess and constituency period, so he will actually be back in Parliament early October. So that's good regarding Mr. Honourable Charlie. Is there any other apologies? Honourable Zulu is attending the Constitutional Review Committee. Anyone else? Honourable members, the purpose of today's meeting is to get a briefing from the chairperson of Constitution. Welcome, Honourable Kuni. To get a briefing from National Treasury regarding the provincial roads maintenance grant. The National Department of was also invited. We've got the documentation to support that they were invited, but somehow in the administration, in the receiving office on the other side, something went wrong. So they are not here this morning. We will deal with this in the management committee of this committee regarding the administration and processes. That when you fax an email, a letter to a person, phone that person, said, "Did you receive it? I'm waiting for your reply." That's the way to do it in South Africa. In Germany, it works a bit different. Be it may, we will listen to the presentation, take the presentation from Provincial Treasury. Now, we've got provinces here, but before we introduce the provinces, the members must introduce themselves to the rest of the meeting. I'm from the Northern Cape, the biggest province in South Africa, with a lot of gravel roads. My constituency has got 78 kilometers of tar roads and 504 kilometers of gravel roads. So I do my constituency work on gravel roads. I can write a report on each one. The honorable members, please introduce yourself.
My name is Bob Nani, Aaron Nguni, from the Free State.
South Leeds from KZN, Rockton, Durban.
Masaman Malkover from Limpopo, the place of such a beautiful and attractive for tourists. Mapungubwe is the place where you can come.
That is very true. Then our MEC from the Free State, welcome MEC in his new position. Congratulations, and we wish you well in that position. We miss you here. But you're doing a good job in the Free State.
Thank you very much, Chairman. My name is Butera Kompela. I'm the MEC for Police, Roads and Transport in the Free State, the province that is in the middle of the country, exploited by all provinces.
Thank you, Honourable Chairman. I'm Fongile Mazibuko, the agency for Police, Roads and Transport in the Free State.
Of which,
My name is Sandy Lembatra. I'm the acting head of department for the Northwest Department of Public Works, Roads and Transport. Thank you very much.
I believe Western Cape's on their way here. Oh, yeah, they are. Can you introduce yourself?
Thank you, sir. Good morning. Carl Oktober, Director of Planning, Western Cape. Thank you.
Richard Huffman. I'm working in a contract coordination director, and he will support the call and assisting. Thank you.
Your HOD CFO is...
Mr. and the MEC caller has, through their office, indicated an apology and have sent us in their place. Thank you.
We received an apology for MEC caller. It is here. I've seen it. There is a little friends of the family, Damian Fashir, a member of this committee coming from Mumala, where the sun rises.
Yeah, where the sun rises. All the members, thank you. National Treasury, you may address the committee and take us through your presentation on this grant. That new grant, if you look at the Division of Revenue Bill, you'll find it on page 44, 45. To give you an idea how it's constructed. Mr. Shishi, you are the Ukraine decider, will lead the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will do the presentation. My name is Edgar Shishi from the National Treasury. This is just a brief presentation on the June numbers with a July update attached as well. Started in as honourable members and MECs and the colleagues from the provinces. Just the background, I believe this is also in front of you in the slides that have been handed out, that some information that the road network in South Africa is a very extensive road network, over 606,000 kilometres in proclaimed roads. Plus minus 100,000 more than that in unproclaimed roads, but those are the proclaimed roads, which is the largest road network on the continent and the 12th largest in the world. And of these, 184,000 are managed by the 9 provinces in the country, and then the rest are specifically national government as managed by SANRAL and municipalities, in particular the metropolitan. Large cities and towns. Since 1991, we have seen a decline in the quality of this network according to data that is collected and stored by SANRAL, South African National Roads Agency Limited, which estimates that as of 2009, we're still waiting for updates on these figures, that 30% of the provincial roads, in other words, of that 184,000, are either in poor or very poor condition. And as roads deteriorate, what this does is it raises the cost of transportation. So repairs for heavy haulage trucks and other types of commercial vehicular transport goes up because of the deterioration in the road condition. And of course, the worse the condition of a road becomes, the higher the cost of rehabilitation. In other words, it is much better. Some of our documents indicate that you raise the cost of looking after a road by up to 16 times if you don't maintain it on a routine basis to such an extent that it ends up having to literally be rebuilt. So various roads in the country, particularly in some of the larger densely populated areas, are deteriorating, and this is a major concern. In Sutakate, roads like the R80, the R55, etc. are experiencing deterioration. In the Eastern Cape, some of the roads are connecting towns like Bishu and Uplandan are deteriorating, so this is a major concern because it raises the cost significantly in the future. So the emphasis really does need to be on how we ensure proper maintenance of the roads rather than simply just building more and more roads. We've got a lot of roads in the country, and we do need to look after the ones that we've got, especially given the extent of the road network in the country. And so the Provincial Roads Maintenance Grant was created this year in 2011-12 with funding that was pulled out of what used to be called the Infrastructure Grant to Provinces, which came to an end in 2010-11. And the framework for that was that we needed to focus the funds specifically on maintenance of roads, rather than the construction of new roads, for the reasons which I've just outlined. And so end date for the awarding of tenders for new road construction. In other words, any new road construction project that were to be entered into, such commitments could not be entered into after the 1st of April 2011. So if you did have a tender in place or a project in place before that time, obviously you could continue with it because you can't stop it. But we were saying that when 1st April 2011 came, that was the cutoff date, and after that, the focus for the funds that are in the grant must purely be for maintenance. But as the bullet, the second last bullet states there, there was an allowance made to construct small access roads, particularly in rural areas, for hospitals and clinics and schools, etc. So there is an allowance for that to be done, particularly given the difficulties around access roads to these places in rural areas in the country. The money is there for that to be done. But broadly, the focus really has to be on the maintenance of the existing road network, which has been outlined and deteriorated over the last number of years. So we've added an additional 5.2 billion rand to the existing baseline. So the baseline that was in place when 10-11 came to an end, we added 5.2 billion rand to that across the MTF, which then means that the grant has a funding of 22.3 billion rand over the MTF, which is effectively the commitment for provincial road maintenance in the country as part of the Hamba Sonke strategy as outlined by the Minister of Transport in the last financial year, at the end of the last financial year. It also includes funding, additional earmarked funding, if you look at the framework, for repairing roads that are damaged because of coal haulage trucks, in other words, from the coal mines, particularly in Mpumalanga, that go to the power stations for Eskom. There, those roads get damaged because of the heavy weight on them, and so there is earmarked funds that are there for the repair of those roads, and they are earmarked for the province of Mpumalanga and for the province of Gauteng. And also, money is in place there as part of the framework conditions for the grant. Provinces are required during the MTF to start sorting out the road asset management systems, or RAMs, for roads. And this is very, very critical because we need to understand, in order to determine how the funding should go across the country and be split across the various provinces, as well as the level of investment that is required, we need to have very detailed, up-to-date information per province on what is the condition of the road, so what Sanral normally calls the VCI data or Visual Conditioning Index data, which tells you what the condition is of each particular stretch of road. And also we need to understand what the weather patterns in particular areas are and therefore the impact those would have on the road. And then finally, we need to understand what the traffic volumes are. And so those are the three key areas that we said are necessary for road asset management systems. And provinces have been given a deadline of 2013 to put in place road asset management systems so that they can have up-to-date data for what's happening in each and every single stretch of road across the province. And as I initially said, funding was also put in place for that as part of the grant, as well as funding to the national department was given as well for them to oversee and manage that process. It is a Schedule 4 grant, which means it is a top-up grant, and therefore the expectation and the requirement in terms of the law is that provinces should top the grant up with their own funds coming either from the equitable share or from the funds that they raise themselves from the motor vehicle licensing, which, as members will be aware, is the largest source of own revenue that provinces typically raise. It comes to about 5 to 5.5 billion rand a year that provinces raise from motor vehicle license fees that they charge to vehicle owners. So that's the background and the purpose for the grant. I think very important information, that we keep that in mind for looking at the data.
Now, this is the outcome for the first quarter of 2011-12. Of course, the first quarter in which the grant has been in existence, as published in terms of Section 32 of the PSFA, and released in terms of the press release and on the National Treasury's website, as submitted by provinces and confirmed by the HODs of provincial departments and the HODs of provincial treasuries. As you can see there, the spending in the first quarter for most provinces has not been very strong. Eastern Cape spent just under 19% of the grant. Free State, not too bad, one of the better provinces at 22.5%. Gauteng registered zero expenditure for the grant in the first quarter. KwaZulu-Natal also quite good at just under 30%. Limpopo, 13.4%, also a fairly low level of expenditure there, as well as Mpumalanga at 15%. Northern Cape, very good level of expenditure, 34.3%. There are some reasons on that one, which I will deal with at the end of the presentation. Northwest has had difficulties at just over 11%, and Western Cape also not very strong expenditure at 14.8% of the overall budget at the end of June. Two provinces sent projections of over expenditure at the end of the year. Eastern Cape said that they're projecting to overspend by 40.6 or just under 40.6 million rand at the end of the year. This is what they're projecting in terms of where they think they'll be at the end of the year. And then Mpumalanga at just under 2.7 million rand over expenditure. I think the difficulty with these projections is that these are two of the provinces that are actually not spending very quickly. So I think then the question that we've been asking is to say, why is the province saying that they have effectively a budget pressure when their spending doesn't reflect that they have a budget pressure? Just some of the issues related to the first quarter 2011-12. Despite the fact that this strategy and this particular program was announced by the Minister of Finance in the MTBPS of October 2010, there have been some challenges with respect to the implementation of this grant. The business plan submission for the Hamba-Zonke strategy have been delayed. When I left the office last night, we still hadn't received them from the National Department. So unfortunately, we still don't have the business plan for the Hamba-Zonke strategy from National Department of Transport. We're trying to establish whether this is related to submissions, whether there's delays in submissions from provinces, or whether provinces have in fact submitted, and for whatever reason, the National Department has itself delayed. We're trying to establish at this stage as to what is the reason, but I can confirm that as at the end of the close of business yesterday, we haven't received anything. We did have difficulties as well with the national. Part of the key issue here was to say that because we've had such a difficulty as government around the performance of infrastructure programs in previous years, members will be aware, for instance, provinces underspent by just over 9 billion rand last, underspent by just over 9 billion rand at the end of 2010-11. And infrastructure underspending by provinces at the end of 10-11 was something like 8.5 billion rand. So there was a huge amount of under expenditure on infrastructure, and there was also issues related to clarity around what the money for infrastructure was being spent for on a project-by-project basis. And so in the Division of Revenue Act for 2011-12, there is a requirement that the project list be submitted and published for each and every single province, where the money is going to be spent, what the projects are, and how much the budget is for each project across the MTS. Unfortunately, there were delays in the submission of these project lists, and it was critical that this information come before transfers get made, because obviously you want to know before you give the money what you're giving the money for. But unfortunately, we got information that the National Department had made transfers to provinces without actually getting the project list. We've written to the National Department on this, and we are planning to have a meeting to discuss what exactly happened. But in terms of full disclosure to the committee, this in fact was the case, and this did happen, and it is a source of concern for us. They have indicated that they have internal capacity challenges, despite the fact that there was an additional 10.5 million rand made available to them for the purposes of monitoring the grant. So we're in the process of trying to establish exactly what the issues are and the difficulties are there, but those things have in fact taken place. As I pointed out, at the provincial level, we have a challenge in terms of Gauteng, which is reflecting zero expenditure in the first quarter. Northern Cape have indicated that the reason why they're spending quite quickly is because they are basically dealing with projects from last year that they had delays, and they are now catching up on those, and so their expenditures this year reflect a portion of what actually was coming from 2010. And then finally, this is just an update on the July numbers. We know that the purpose of this meeting was to look at the first quarter, but we do have the July numbers, and I think it's important to put them up for the committee's information. Eastern Cape, very, very dramatic certain changes. The expenditure is a little bit higher, but still below what you would call the benchmark figure of about 31-32%, but it has improved. But interestingly, there you will notice that Eastern Cape have gone from projecting an over expenditure of 40, they are now projecting to underspend by 783.5 million rand at the end of the year. Which is a serious concern because the budget is just over a billion rand. So effectively, the province is saying that they will not be able to spend three-quarters of the money. There are issues with that projection. We're not sure whether there was a mistake there because effectively what they're saying is that what they have spent so far, they won't spend anything else for the rest of the year, which seems highly... very difficult to believe. But in any case, that is what we received from them, and that was quite a dramatic turnaround. Free State continues to spend relatively well in terms of the timelines against the budget. Housing at the end of July is still showing zero expenditure on the grant, but they are now saying that they're projecting to overspend by just over 5 million rand. So, you know, quite a lot of the numbers are moving around quite a lot from month to month that we're getting from provinces, and we are at this stage consulting with provinces to get explanations line by line as to what exactly are the reasons for these dramatic shifts in the numbers. Well, the Natal expenditure has improved quite a lot, 38.2%. Limpopo has also improved quite significantly from where they were in June. So there's quite a lot of spending in the month of July. Mpumalanga, a little bit of improvement there, but still sitting at about 21.7%. Northern Cape still spending quite strongly. They've spent now over half of their entire budget at the end of July, and they are saying they're going to have quite a significant pressure at the end of the year. Northwest, not much improvement in Northwest. Spending is still quite low there, so we haven't really seen any change of any significance from June. Still sitting at just under 13% in July, and then Western Cape has spent just under 23% of the budget. So a little bit of an improvement there, but still lagging a little bit behind, but they are projecting that they will break even in terms of their own cash flow projections or budget projections for the end of the year. And thank you very much. I think I'll leave it at that. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Sisi. Honourable members, we invited the provinces to be present at this meeting and this presentation.
didn't expect of them to come and do presentations from the side of the province. But North West compiled a presentation, yes, thank you. Western Cape, yes, okay. The idea is to interact with National Treasury. Now, next week is a provincial week. Then we go back to our provinces. Now, how things go to zero expenditure figure. So, on the Monsisi, as part of their week program, they can interact with that provincial department. The same in the Northern Cape. If they spend 50%, what did they do? But no, they are visiting my constituency in Klipfontein and Karkans and up to Polshoek in the mountain. So, I do that oversight myself. So, in your province, take this document with you and try and get the slots during that week to interact with the MEC and the leadership of that department, because it is a new grant. So that will be part of our program. Yes, that is the provincial week. The other point is partnerships with mines in a specific province. Example, Kumba established a new mine in Postmasburg. Rockefonden. And there was a partnership between the mine Kumba, under the leadership of Kumba, Chansabali Municipality, Sihanda District Municipality, and the province. And it worked. You might just get around the table. Because those big logs are on those gravel roads and causes a lot of damage. Big vehicles, huge vehicles. So there's an example. When we look at the other provinces where mines are. Gauteng, did they give any reason for the zero spending? When you get the report and there's a zero figure, what is your response? Well, how do you interact with them to get some more feedback? If there's underspending, as you said, on infrastructure, one of our priorities is to create jobs. Building a road is creating jobs. Like the road between Ashkam and the Gimsborg Nature Conservation Park in the Northern Cape. It was built by hands. Get people work for 4 years. Just that remark as well. Honourable members, any questions that you want to put to National Treasury? Also, provinces can put their questions to National Treasury. I'm listing Honourable Mashile.
Where you have Kerbal and Allah spending. To me, this is an indication of people that don't know what they are doing. There is a need for an intervention from Kerbal. People are just putting numbers for the sake of putting numbers to comply with the reporting mechanism or system, but they are not making sense with the report. And therefore, for us to actually not be misled as we are moving towards the second quarter, the end of the second quarter, and the third quarter, one would request Treasury to make an attempt to actually ensure that the report becomes meaningful. That's the request. We don't need to wait for the Department of Transport, because this is a report relating to numbers, and we just got the capacity to mislead those that are responsible for the COPA, that we can't make meaningful judgment evaluation of the spending and respond accordingly. The likelihood is that at the end of the financial year, you may find that they have overspent by that 500 million left, while they are actually projecting to underspend by 700 and get into trouble. The quicker we actually get them fine-tuned to be able to have correct feel on the numbers, the better. And we should be able to see that in the third quarter. Because now we are in the second quarter. In the third quarter, then we should, if we have intervened correctly, we should be able to see the changes. Now, Chair, the question of the resources being transferred, when they are supposed to be transferred on the basis of the business plan, what they are going to do, and the Department of Transport is able to transfer funds, just throw the money in the dark. I think this is it's a serious financial misconduct, which one would ask Treasury to take it up seriously with the Department of Transport, and probably ourselves as well. We must reflect it on our report seriously, that this cannot happen. We rather know that provinces are not ready to spend, and then debate how the money will be rolled over to the next financial year or being made available for other activities that are urgent, rather than throwing money in the dark. Now, I'm not sure, Chair, we are saying Northern Cape is spending vigorously. Northern Cape. And we are saying KwaZulu-Natal is spending vigorously. I'm actually having a problem to agree with that. If it is a new grant and majority of provinces are showing teething problems, whether are we not having a situation where these provinces are just simply reallocating expenditure against this particular grant? They have spent money either in the light of any other funding, or then now they think, no, we are finishing our corpus, let us redirect the expenditure that we have incurred for the past 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and just reallocate to this grant. And cost again? Is that not what we are seeing? Especially in the absence of the performance evaluation. Until the provinces come and tell us that this is what we are doing, this project is like blah, 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 and then it is within this particular financial year of the grant, up to now, it should just simply be held suspect. And also, Chair, to really request that we should demand from the Department of account for the money that are being reflected in this report within the next 5 days or so.
Thank you, Honorable Mashile. I made a mistake in the Division of Revenue Bill on page 83 and 84 that the grant is explained. Honorable Makabela.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'd like to find out the challenge correspondent from the Department of Transport indicated that there are going to be internal capacity challenges in the department, despite the additional 1.5 million. Was the capacity in the form of warm body or capacity tested in the not intellectual? Something on the floor. I want to get this in that one. And then the national legislature is meeting with and has also returned a letter. I'd like to know when was the first meeting between the treasurer and the Department of Transport. If the letter was written, when was that letter written?
Thank you, Honourable Kagala. We are joined by Honourable Becker. He's from the Western Cape.
Thank you, Chair. I was covered by the previous speakers. I'd like to know a question. Other than that, to thank all the Mr. Treasurer who gave us the presentation for spending the money to our province. Thank
you. On the leave.
Chairman, thank you, and thank you to National Treasury. Chairman, I'm dispatching a little bit with the figures. On the second page of your presentation, you say it's a grant that was created after the old infrastructure grant, and the overall funding is 22.3 billion, but we're only reporting on 6.4 billion. Now, what's happened to the other 16 odd billion? If you could just explain that to me. The question of business plans and projects for Northern Cape, the spending is so high because they're spending on last year projects. So, are you saying to us that not a single province has submitted a business plan or a list of projects? How do you know then that they're spending on last year's projects if they haven't been submitted? And I think that this takes up where Honorable Mashile was leading off, is that unless these projects are identified, it simply becomes a reallocation of spending patterns from equitable share to grant, and we then have lose the emphasis because the money that would have been spent on maintenance part of equitable share is now being spent on for other purposes, perhaps 100-day parties and other things that are favourites of politicians. And you don't have to respond to. The question of the road network, the large road network in South Africa, is indeed a legacy from a past where we force people out in rural areas rather than allowing the natural progression of urbanization to take place. And so we have people living all over the country where they shouldn't really be living, but now we perpetuate that by providing roads and other services into those areas and try and encourage people to stay there. So I would differ from the Honourable Mashile that new roads aren't a problem, that in time urbanisation will take place, and that a lot of the roads that are currently in our rural areas will become of no consequence and no use at all in the high density of the roads that exist in the rural areas. But from a commercial agriculture point of view, or mining, or where there's an economic benefit, then of course we have to maintain those roads to a very high specification. I'm batting a little bit, Tishu, with the additional grant and so-called unknown overspending. I can understand underspending. I cannot understand overspending. If you give me R5 to spend and I spend R6, it's not an overspending. I've taken R1 of my own money and spent it. Because you're not going to give me another rand. You've given me R5. It's a finite figure. It cannot be overspent. And so, if you could just explain so that I get my mind around these conditional grants generally, because for the past few days we've been getting this repeated overspend, which you can't spend more than you've got in your pocket unless you go and borrow it. So if you could explain that to me. And of course the Eastern Cape figures are just don't make any sense at all, going from an overspend to an underspend. Sorry, Mr. Chairman, I'm not as organized as I should be. I'm flipping around here. Okay, the asset management system, has any progress at all made on that? I mean, are you getting any reports from provinces? Because I think it's key to the accurate spending into the future. So, thanks, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Honourable Lees. The gentleman who just entered the room, can you please identify yourself?
I'm here, actually. Good morning.
MEC Kompala.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, there's nothing that is going to change the Free State from being a rural area and people come to town to be urbanized. It will never change. And therefore, it will be appropriate for consideration, as the honourable member raised, around the issues of the farmer. Let's say in town, we are excited about it, even about it, about the rural area people, but the situation will remain as such. Actually, the only concern that I have is that National Treasury spoke about the mine that are cause of the damage to the road. Then you mentioned Mpumalanga and Gauteng. But I want to draw to the attention of the National Treasury that Free State is one of the most historically and up until today damaged by the mines that are existing in the Free State. And therefore, it will not be correct for National Treasury to forget about the extent of the damage of the Free State in both the gold mine and the coal mine and whatever happened there. And then I would add that honorable chair, that a serious consideration should be given to the Free State, to Mpumalanga and Gauteng, that should be the Free State. The last point, Chair, that I want to raise is that we are having a problem in the Van Rienen Pass. If you go to Van Rienen Pass, the snow, all the heavy trucks, even whatever you call it, it is taken out of the road to go and be use the Free State road to connect to Gauteng or anywhere else. And the extent of the consequences of such natural issues that happen there, National Treasury must be one of the things that take into consideration, because we are in the middle of the country. And anybody, if the Free State is not right, can't pass to go anywhere else. Hence, what happens to the Van Rienen to go to Joburg, to go to Devon, to go to anywhere else, and that kind of a problem. So I'm going to just raise those two important things there. But the last one is that the National Treasury, I think in the next reporting of our department, you will see there's a serious demand of the overexpenditure that we are going to have there. In the light of everywhere in the Free State where you drive, you will find roads under construction, but they're not the roads that fall outside the line that you have mentioned of the 1st of April. They are long before the April. So it must not be a shock when we report in the next quarter that you see at least we have gone a little bit up. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, MEC. HOD from the Northwest.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity for the
the first one around the issue of the expenditure. It might not apply to other provinces, but I am very clear that in terms of what has been transferred to the department to date has not exceeded 57 million, which is reflected in the first slide around the area of expenditure. Yes. If you look at that number, that is only what has been transferred so far. In fact, let me correct myself. That is what was transferred in May, and we have spent that 100%. We could not spend more than that. Fortunately, Treasury, when we had a challenge of expense, we had more commitment than what was transferred. So our provincial treasury has come to rescue us as a result of what has been transferred. That number is 100% expenditure against what was given, which I think probably would apply to other colleagues in other areas. It is a big concern that the projects that were capital projects had to be stopped. I think it's a big issue that at Northwest we would want to find a home for these projects, because there's a lot of them. We have a statistics according to our road network management system that our paved or tarred roads, about 8,000, and 14,000 of that is not tarred and is not paved. So we have a huge backlog, and all those, the current program now, which is called the Tamba Songke, does not warrant us to address those roads. And I would want to concur that the state of the province is very rural in nature. I think we are about 70% rural in the northwest. So the little urban that we have, we can maintain them. But what are we going to do with all the backlogs that we have? So we would want to make that point that we are driven by the Premier, who is saying to us, the President said rural is an agenda that must be prioritized. Now, if we are not going to do rural work, we feel that it's going to really compromise what we are doing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, HOD. Welcome to Honorable Bloom. He's a member of the committee and is also from the Free State. So the Free State is well represented here. Honorable Mashira, I've noted you. I'll take you just after the other two. Honorable Monsisi, will you hand up? I'll put you on. Not now. The lady next to the MEC.
Honorable participants, thank you very much. There's three issues that I would like to emphasize. Firstly, the Prefect province is not prepared presentation for this meeting because we called and we actually ascertained that if we could make a presentation and would like to have an opportunity to make the presentation. The issue that I would like to highlight is the issue that has been highlighted by the MEC, but just the impact on the roads that are affected by the closure of the Pandunian Park. The R76 is actually totally now deteriorated to an extent that even the work that we did before the snow period have actually been wasted in essence, because we've had three closures of the Pandunian Park during the past winter, and every time Pandunian Park is closed, the actual effect is that the provincial roads, the R76, get highly, highly utilized. But in terms of that, as a priority area, we are appealing to National Federal to consider it as an MCSA. The second issue that I would like to raise here is the issue around the impact, and this was covered by my colleague in relation to rural area, but the impact of the floods on rural roads and the fact that we now sit in a position whereby rural roads are actually not usable because of the previous unprecedented high amount of floods that we had. In fact, when we make our presentation, we'll actually pick up the amount of road value that we lost in the previous rainy season. And we are actually worried that we're going into another rainy season, and if the principle of disregarding the rural road still persists, we actually don't understand how we're actually going to curb the issue about those rural roads that are currently deteriorating because of because of the amount of casualties and the number of lives that we're losing on a weekly basis and on a daily basis on some of our provincial roads. And because of that, we're now actually being put so much under pressure to look at additional roads that we actually have to work on. And that is one of the areas that I would like to highlight. Thank you, Chairman.
When it snows, it creates a problem. When the snow melts, it creates a new problem, because it becomes water. So we must capture the water somewhere, somehow. Thank you, Honorable Nguni, then Honorable Mashile, then Honorable Moses.
Thank you. I only want to question that why Gauteng is not spending. Why Gauteng is not spending?
Yeah, Chair, I think it's just a little bit unfortunate that even Free State has already spoken to the HOD, because I actually wanted them as well as the Northwest to talk to the allegation that they have not submitted business plan and that they have received funds. And what is their position? Are they happy about that kind of a situation?
Thanks, Chair. Chairperson, my apologies for coming in late. So I'm not sure if National Department of Transport is here. And I'm not even sure if the Gauteng HOD they're not here. I think they've covered me, both of them, because I wanted to find out the response of Treasury. I mean, probably there is a report which has been written by Hawking and the National Treasurer about this man. What are the reasons like? The Honorable is asking here. But, Chairperson, the issue I want to raise about the provincial maintenance plan is that this is a new plan also. And provinces have got their own current road construction program, which they have been continuing. Now, my understanding of the grant from the presentation is that while provinces continue with the construction of their own road through the capital grant, this maintenance grant is earmarked for those other roads, so that there must be parity with the new roads which are being constructed by the provinces, so that there must not be deterioration behind them. So those other roads should be renewed. I understand in that context. But now, if provinces are going to take the same grant and use it for road construction, is that allowed? That the provinces should take the grant and use it for construction? That is one question. With respect to the Free State, we have been to the Free State, and the Free State here reflects that it is performing quite well in the utilization of this grant. It goes back to the question that the Honorable Mashile raised as to whether the grant is actually targeting these roads. Because the Honorable MEC would know, and the Honorable Zuni would know, including Zuni, that my second home is the Free State, so I frequent it quite a lot. The roads are not in a very good condition. Your Kronstadt, your Belcom, your Bethlehem, a number of towns. So if the Free State performs well with respect to the provincial road maintenance plan, and the roads are in good condition, where exactly? Now, it would also be the matter be able to ascertain in provinces, in various provinces. There is in case they are likely to cross spending and the so all I'm saying, Chairperson, is if we can be able to ascertain for ourselves as well as the court. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Moshishi. Honorable Mashiwe is the Member of Parliament in the NCP for the Eastern Cape. We can sensitize him when we meet tomorrow with Chairperson at the Chairperson session to zoom into the Eastern Cape issue. After the responses by the response by National Treasury, we will give the opportunity to Northwest to take us through their presentation. Western Cape and then also Free State to make an input. There will be a follow-up of this meeting with on this ground. And we will see that we can do it in October when we come back after the short recess in the constituency period to monitor the spending again. Mr. Shishi and Ms. Quintana, you can reply.
But we'll try and cover all the questions asked. I'm going to just maybe give a little bit of background. I think in the previous provincial budget and expenditure review, it is indicated that provinces at that time were not really spending anything on maintenance. And so when the decision was taken to move the infrastructure grant to provinces, to the various departments, the focus for those then fell on maintenance and therefore a Schedule 4 grant, and it covers maintenance, nothing else but maintenance. This was also in line, I think the national department felt that it is important that this aspect of road infrastructure be funded or that we support provinces in maintaining the provincial road infrastructure network, provincial road network. Honorable Mashile asked a question around the Eastern Cape, and we've noticed the need for us to intervene, and we've actually, because it's not only a problem with this department, it's also in the Department of Health when we picked up. What happens is that the department would indicate to us the amount spent up to a particular point in time. Then they will leave the remaining months on zero, and it will show them a projected either under or overspending, or they will not be able to cost the activities properly moving forward. And so what we've done in the month of July, we actually had a training session together with the provincial treasury as well as the finance people in the provincial department, taking them through this. So we're hoping to see that with the next submission that there will be a change. If not, obviously we will have to go back and reinforce what we have shared with them and really see what are the problems, because I think we've addressed the issue during that training session that we've had with them. We have also been telling provincial places in specific that there might be things happening in other provinces that are good. So places have embarked actively on a process of where they experience or they identify a gap. Within a particular province, they would go to another province. So the issue around peer learning has become very important, and people are actively looking at that in terms of improving the province's performance. We have not received the first quarter performance report on the ground, and so it would be difficult to say, yes, KwaZulu-Natal, their 29.8% as at the 30th of June was spent on things in relation to what the grant was actually allocated for. However, we currently have no reason to doubt it, simply because, for instance, in the case of KwaZulu-Natal, maintenance is linked to the EPWP program. It's about job creation, and this is one area where the province is actually doing extremely well, and therefore we can almost, even although it's in the absence of a report, we're fairly satisfied that that would be in line with what the grant was intended for. Mr. Shishi will cover the questions that I'm not going to deal with. In terms of the 22.3 billion, that was the allocation on the release over the MTF. So it's not just for 1 year. So the rest of the money will come in 12, 13, and 13-14. Obviously, there might be some top-up with the new budget, but I would not know that at this particular point in time. Then to the HLD Northwest, this grant specifically is for maintenance. The numbers that we're reflecting here reflects the expenditure up to a particular point in time. Also the amount that was transferred up to that particular point in time. And we take note that you've indicated that you spent all, but as a percentage to that was the expenditure. Again, not the amount transferred, but against the total available for the financial year.
Are you done?
To continue. Thanks, Chair. I think, let me just deal with the big issue around, first of all, the construction of new roads. Maintenance. What we said was that, as my colleague was saying, given the fact that we have this issue as it relates to the deterioration of the condition of provincial roads in particular, the provincial roads in particular where the focus is here, not so much the ones under Sunrise landing, we need to find a way of prioritizing. Because, once again, going to the example about the provincial budget and expenditure review, we noticed that, for instance, in 2008, there was only about 5.2 billion rand being spent by all the nine provinces in the country on road maintenance. And of that 5.2 billion, about 2.7 billion was being spent by KwaZulu-Natal alone. In other words, KwaZulu-Natal was spending more on road maintenance than all the other provinces in the country put together. So we looked at it as well. We obviously can't go on in that fashion. But what we said was, the cut-off, just to answer as well as the question from Honorable Mashila, with respect to new projects, the way it would apply is that if you currently had a new project commitment, it can continue. So it wasn't a cut-off in the sense of saying, you know, all of a sudden now stop the project. Obviously you can't do that if there's a project commitment in place, tender's been awarded, etc. That must continue. There's no reason why an existing project should stop at all. There's nothing in the strategy that says that all of a sudden if you were awarded a tender for a new road construction it must stop. That was not the case. All we said was that the awarding of new contracts or tenders for a new road construction must not take place with respect to funds from this grant from the 1st of April. If you have something happening, continue, finish, etc., but don't start something. Prioritize the maintenance of the existing road. If you are going to build a new road, it must be an access road in a rural area for small clinics, for rural hospitals, etc. So we have prioritized, we have left an allowance in place for access roads in rural areas to those places. So we haven't, you know, completely sliced and diced the process. We've tried to phase it in an orderly fashion. And secondly, it's also important to remember that this grant is a top-up grant. It's a Schedule 4. In other words, provinces are perfectly free to use funding from other sources to build new roads. So there's nothing that says that new roads must never be built. It's just a simple matter of saying that national government, as announced by the Minister of Transport last year, has to prioritize the maintenance of these roads, and that's the Sambasonke program that he announced. And as national government, we need to make sure that the roads don't deteriorate further than the 30% that are in poor condition or very poor condition that we currently have. And so that's an important issue because we've got a big backlog in that respect. So I hope that covers the issue of how the new roads must be dealt with. A question from Honorable De Beer and others about why is Gauteng not spending anything. As we said, it's very difficult at the moment given the fact that we haven't received the first quarter report. You know, we received various indications and we've had discussions with people. I suppose it would be remiss of me to talk about that here now in the absence of an official report. But I think on the issue of the report as well as the business plan, it hasn't been entirely clear whether the blockage of submitting these things has been at the provincial level, in other words, provinces not sending to the national department, or at the national department level. We suspect that it's a mixture of the two. In other words, you know, you've got 9 provinces in the country, so you'll probably find, you know, when we have this other meeting with the DOT, you'll probably find that some provinces have submitted, some have not submitted for various reasons, but also there are issues with the national department. So there's probably a combination of the two in terms of the reason for why both the plans and the first quarter report hasn't been submitted. But in terms of the Division of Revenue Act, the national department has 45 days after the end of each quarter to make sure that a consolidated report for all the 9 provinces in the country is submitted to the national treasury. So for the first quarter, that would mean that the national department should have submitted a first quarter report on the 15th of August. When that passed, we wrote to the national department officially informing them of the breach, and we have, in addition to that, requested a direct meeting with them to say that we really need to address the issue. That particular letter was written. Oh, now you're asking for the date. That's difficult right now. But all I can say is that in the week following when the 15th of August passed, the following week we wrote a letter. So we can give a copy, and I'm sure there's a date on the letter. But unfortunately, off the top of my head, I can't remember right now. I'd have to simply get it, and I'm quite happy to forward that information to you there. On the issue of job creation, as my colleague was saying, if we look at the KZN example, the KZN has been an excellent example of how you can do this very, very well. Road maintenance has been an excellent vehicle for creating jobs and for success in the EPWP program, which is why when the EPWP incentive grant was created, the province that took the lion's share of the funding was KZN. Why? Because they had excellent performance information with respect to the EPWP program, because they focused on road maintenance. Remember, as I said earlier, they were spending more than half what was being spent in the entire country on road maintenance, and there's a direct correlation between that and job creation. It's relatively easy to start a maintenance project, easier than a new construction project. It's relatively labor-intensive, and so you can achieve quite a lot of success if you focus on maintenance, and we believe that this grant and the focus of this grant in this year can be an excellent vehicle towards seeing that happen in terms of prioritizing that. I think the issue of the spending by Northern Cape and KZN as reliability has been addressed. Yes, we don't have the first quarter report, or we don't have any evidence to suggest that provinces are somehow cooking the books. So there's, it's difficult to blame people for something, but we think this is where the road asset management system issue is so critical, very, very critical. Because what we need to understand as a country is we need to understand, in terms of where our roads are, what their condition is, what the density levels are on those roads. In other words, how often are they used? What kind of traffic is on them, etc.? Is it heavy trucks or is it just, you know, the odd bicycle? We need to understand, because that will give us a sense of the investment that is required and where that investment should go with respect to keeping our roads in an excellent condition. What is the progress on that? We know that Eastern Cape, for instance, has moved quite quickly. That's one province which I can put up to say that they've been really trying very hard to put in place a road asset management system. But that is something that we need to establish as part of the annual evaluation for this year. When this year comes to an end, we'll obviously look back and say, you know, who's done what, etc., etc. The only people so far that there's been quite a lot of noise about in terms of them doing quite well is Eastern Cape. But that's information that will come through. I'm sure other provinces are moving, but at this stage we'll have to see this. On the issue raised by the Honourable MEC around the coal and the heavy load on the roads, etc., I think we can say two things on that one. That will also be affected by the road asset management system. In other words, once we have the information on exactly what is happening and the density levels on those roads in the Free State, then there's no reason whatsoever why we shouldn't be able to look at earmarking funds to deal with that. Because Mpumalanga and Gauteng are there this year, but remember, members may recall that in 2009-10, as well as in 2010-11, we also gave money to Limpopo. So we're quite happy to find the places where it needs to be, and obviously to reprioritize. We've done that before. And once we have the data accurate in terms of what's happening to those roads, I think that that is something that we're quite happy to look at opportunities for dealing with that. We know to the MEC's point where he says that he thinks the province may overspend. But I think it is important to note what the Honourable Member for KZN said about the overspending projections. We have said to provinces in the past that, remember that there's two places where provinces reflect expenditure. There's what is called the financial statement programmatic expenditure that the Office of the Accountant General manages for the overall programs in provincial departments. And there, people can reflect the possibility of overexpenditure. And we have said to provinces that they must refrain from putting overexpenditure numbers in conditional grants, because, as rightly pointed out, that doesn't make sense. You know, the money that is given is the money that is given. So if a province does project to overspend, let them reflect it in the Section 40 report, but not in the conditional grant report, because obviously that doesn't make any sense. I think I'll leave it at that. I think I've covered all the questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, June. That's what the rest of it is.
Now, we had a meeting with the National Department in May where there was an issue around the restructuring of the department having an impact on their ability to hire people, etc. So at that stage, our sense was that it was around the warm bodies, the fact that they simply didn't have people there. Obviously, now that we've requested another meeting to get an update, we will get a sense now of how we've gone in terms of that issue. Thank you.
Thank you. Follow up on the machine.
Yeah, Chair, as much as I've heard the question about reflecting the overexpenditure and some other reports, Chair, I would be saying it would be a little bit beneficial, even if we see it here, because it will also indicate to us about financial discipline when it comes to the management of this particular grant. We will have a meeting. Otherwise, that information will be hidden. We won't be knowing. We'll be thinking that what they have planned to do under this grant, they are doing it 100% to the amount. Whereas they are actually aiding a lot of funds from other sources that we don't know. I mean, I think if it is reflected, it will assist us. Although we know that we National Treasury is not going to give additional funds to North Toba, but it will give us an indication how people are managing that particular ground. And then the most crucial question, Chair of Clarity, how Treasury is seeing this. Maintenance. A provincial road, a gravel road, and the province decides to pay. It's an existing road is being used. Now it's harder road. Or they bring in a layer of gravel. To me, both of them is maintenance. Are we seeing it exactly the same? What is a new road? What do you mean with a new road? And what do you mean with maintenance? Because you go to KZN, you go to the rural areas, where they've got provincial gravel roads, which they are spending a lot of money by putting in additional gravel, it rains, it washes everything, and then a decision is taken, which is a maintenance decision. And then if you put a layer there of gravel and put tar on it, do you take that as a new road or what is it? Because this looks, it's going to be key, especially to the road in the rural area.
Respond to that?
I think the reference, first of all, I think it's important to point out that, I mean, it's not really Treasury's definition. I think the National Department of Transport would have to provide, I think it would be most appropriate as the sector leader for them to do that in terms of what constitutes that. And I think there's the what is called the RIFSA, the Roads Infrastructure Strategic Framework of South Africa. I think that's the best thing, so that we don't belabor the point, is simply to say that perhaps we should looking at that around the definitions, because I think Honourable Mashila, that question is a very important question, because it's about providing guidance to people about what constitutes maintenance and what constitutes new, etc. So I think that's something that we'll look in terms of the strategy, and we'll obviously discuss with the National Department. But it is there. It's just, I think, something we'll just have to outline, and I think we can forward a copy of it to the committee at the first of the available opportunity.
From your presentation on page 4, it is clear that the National Department is not complying with the prescriptions in the DORA in terms of reporting. But we will call them to appear before this committee. Honourable members, it is not ready yet. We're going to ask the Northwest Province to do their presentation. We're going to give you 20 minutes. It's a thick document. Speak to the document. Highlight your issues. Where you're succeeding, what are your challenges. After that, we'll take a 10-minute break for tea and come back. I've been notified provincial delegations are also meeting between 12 and 2. So we will have just to check our time in terms of our meeting. Norwest?
Thank you very much, Chair. I will try and go as fast as I can to try and squeeze everything within the 20 minutes. I think our background comes from the last sitting where we were compelled to try and be a bit more detailed in the manner in which we provide information. I think that is already common knowledge. We were given 57 million as the first tranche against the total allocation to the province of 501 million. What is not added here is that we did prepare a business plan in advance, which was, we were given guidelines by the National Department of Transport in terms of how to prepare the business plan. That business plan was then submitted to National. And also, being the new arrangement, normally this budget would have come from the province, our provincial finance. But this time around, we had to give it to National Department of Transport, and the province finance have also requested that we give them the same document. We have done that. We have not been requested to submit directly to Treasury at national level. We have dealt with the province and we have dealt with the national. So I think that is just in terms of background an important point to make. The way the budget was given to us, it was split into two components, one being 34,467,000 and those long numbers. If you can just go back quickly, the 34 is what is specifically meant to be for the EPWP related projects, and the 467 is what would then be the Thambasonke specific focus to the problem that you are talking about. Thank you very much. The way this budget we've allocated in terms of our business plan, we are giving here what we have been made to understand is coming in the next 2 years besides the current financial year. And we've split it up against the province is divided into four regions or districts. There is one in the Bujanala area. We have Dr. Ruth and Gagamudiri and Dr. Kenneth Kaunda. That is basically the split in the future years. We can go to the next slide. With the first with the first tranche that we received, it was 57 million. We had already been having a number of projects that were running, and they included the capital projects, like my colleague has said, that capital projects that were already running, because they are multi-year projects by nature. We still could continue with them, but we had to make sure that we incorporate them in the business plan. And then this 57 million was the only source that we would have had unless Treasury had come into the party. And they managed to give us 110 million, which they said to us is basically borrowing against the 501. Because this, to them, the 501 is supposed to deal with all our budgetary issues. So within that, we have received 110 and 57. The new allocation is going to be, or rather the next tranche that has been given to the province is 164 by national. I think you can go to the next slide. I think I've covered that already. In the first quarter, or as of 31st July, we had spent against the 34 million, 12.25 million. Against the actual Thambasonke, about 89.6 million. But again, as I was saying, that we managed to get extra from the province, so we could spend more than that number internally. This is just a list of projects. If you were to go into our project file of all the projects that we have as a province, we have 12 projects which are completed, but on retention, we allow about 1 year after the project is complete before we release the last amount of cash that is just to say that the project must be fully functional. So there is 12 of them, there is 7 that are currently under construction. Tender stage, we got 16 projects at a tender stage. The small comment there says they are either going through an advert or they are with our bid committee, but they are already at that level. And they will amount to those numbers that we see there. The detailed design, we have those projects as well that are under detailed design. Those ones, we can put a handbrake, but we are not stopping with the design work. Because when this Thambasonke program was announced, we already had consultants working on the designs and planning and all sorts of things. And another point that I think is important to make, we talk about minor access roads. I don't understand that in the language of the provincial road. We are not dealing with municipal roads. And our area of focus is mainly provincial roads. I think we need to make sure our definition, when we would say, no, we can do a minor access road, that we are not talking about a municipal road. I'm fortunate in that I do come from KZN as much as I'm in the Northwest. KZN do get involved with municipal roads and in a big scale. And that is the model that we are also looking into as Northwest, because municipalities, in terms of capacity, they do have a problem. But we must then not then say provincial roads are supposed to be read as minor access roads. That is just the point that I want to make. Emergency pothole repair program. These are the projects which are candidates for this summer longest program. We are saying there's 7 right now that are running. We've got 36 that are already planned. They've gone all out on tender. We should be able to run with those projects almost immediately, but we cannot because of the amount of money that we have. So we are trying to keep them with a view that if we can proceed, we can do those projects. For projects on hold, these are the projects that we felt due to the fact that they are capex in nature and we don't have that budget to run with them. We have to put them on hold, and they turn on them currently. Can we go to the next slide? That is a quick breakdown. Capital projects are funded due to insufficient funds in 2009-10. I think we must make a point also that the MEC has done a lot of work with regards to looking into the budget and the overcommitment that we've had. There's been a lot of media coverage and suspensions, and we've been overcommitted by over 3.6 billion in terms of the projects that we're running. Now, those projects, we had to take a very difficult position to suspend them because there wasn't money to pay. But it doesn't mean that they were happening in areas that don't exist. They were offered, they are projects that had to be done somewhere or one or the other. But we've had to try to restrict this overcommitment. Approved projects in the list for this program, we have submitted projects, but this issue of the definition is very important because some of the projects submitted were rejected assuming that they are capital projects. So the issue of what defines the project that must go on the Pampa Tonkin, I think for me is very crucial. You can go to the next slide. Factor contribution to spending of the grant. Treasury supply chain management processes, the possible delays in spending into the current budget because of the National Treasury Instruction. Well, this is a new issue that has come out, that if you are going to spend, I think, a project worth more than 10 million, you must go to provincial treasury, you must do an audit check and all sorts of things. This is likely to compromise our speed at which we can spend. That is something that we are raising now because it's already something that is an act or there is a regulation. We must comply with it. But whether provincial treasury, national, are ready to now evaluate this project, which will exceed 10 million and give us quick speed, that is still to be seen. But we cannot say they don't have capacity. We don't know. That is the position for now. Factors contributing to spending, the department makes use of services of the CAPEX, sorry, that is supposed to be capital project manager, CAPEX program manager. We appoint that group of people to assist us with the capacity. So we have them, they are with us for 5 years. They are probably now left with 3 years, if I'm correct. But they assist us with expenditure on big projects. If we don't have capacity, they monitor and go around. So we do have a lot of capacity in that regard. We have the chief director for roads, that lady over there, she's our chief director. She's a qualified civil engineer who is registered. So we do not just put people for the sake of filling the equity issue. But she joined the department quite recently. And we also have 2 directors who have just been appointed also sometime towards the end of the last financial year, deputy director of technical people. We can just go through the next slide. The department initiated a program. When this program was pronounced, we had launched a program during the October month in 2009 through the MEC initiative of the war on potholes. And this, we also coupled this with Martin King revitalization program, which is the project of the mayor, of the premier. The premier announced that she wants to see Martin King being revitalized. So we have been running on with the program to revitalize Mafeking. We basically identify very bad roads within the Mafeking, and we deal with them in terms of trying to resurface them, deal with the potholes. So this program has now absorbed these two things and it falls under one thing. Thank you. We had a number of gaps in our report last time, but we have tried to go back and fix the issues of the numbers that were missing. In the Bujanala, those are the statistics in terms of each district, how many have we employed and everything. Dr. K.K. Kawunda, we don't have a project offhand that is running. It's one of those suspended projects that we may run with that we can start showing the numbers. But generally, these are the statistics in terms of the gender, youth, and disabled, as we were requested. I'm not going through each number, but we do have the slides if you want to go through it. You're going too fast. Okay, can you carry on? Yeah, we have a number of options that we've employed. We've also worked with SANRAL in some of the projects in trying to create job opportunities and in partnering with SANRAL. The Minister of Transport has already said SANRAL is available, make use of them. So there are certain projects where SANRAL has assisted us to do labor-intensive work. These are just some of the pictures that give us some of the aspects of what we are doing. Just the thickness of the slide is just to give us a sense that whatever we are spending is based on these projects. If the members wanted to go and do local inspection, they can go and look for a road called E509. And this is the area, that's the kilometer, that's the budget that we claim to have spent to date, and the problem thereof. It's just the information that we thought it would be necessary and useful for the members. Thank you. We also realized that in the previous discussion, our numbers compared to National Department of Transport looked as if they were small. We were confined to the problem that is called Sambasonke. We couldn't give any, we thought that we must only discuss issues around Sambasonke. But we thought that also give you the information around EPWP. We do have a program called National Youth Service, which we employ a lot of young people in the area. These are the areas, these are the districts which we are appointing young people to get involved on EPWP. Maintenance-related work. This includes a number of projects. I think my slides are running faster than my voice. But there is a road within the center store. All these areas, these are different tips. If you notice this, we would not have reported it on the Samba Song Day, because this is just a different initiative done by the departmental budget. But it gives you all the numbers of how many we've employed to date. Can you go on to the next slide? The revitalization program, this is where we got almost full-time employment of the young people, cleaning the streets, every part, and moving the dirt, and cutting trees, making sure the roads are cleared and everything. We got about 578 right now. On Friday, there's going to be a launch of the Green Friday, an environmental program, where we're going to now go from working for 3 days. They will work an extra day, which is the Friday. The Green Friday will be added. On those days, they will be wearing green overalls, making sure that we start to sensitize people on the environmental issues as well. We also have the road rangers. These are people who assist us because we are a rural province. Some of our provincial roads cause a lot of accidents. We find cows just lying on the road. So with the road rangers, we pay them. They wear overalls. They go around making sure that the roads are safe as much as we possibly can. We don't do public safety, but this program is run with public safety because it assists them quite a lot as well in the province. EPWP and contractor development program. At this stage, we have 446 people that are employed in these different types of projects. You can see the different names. It's about saying if you wanted to do a spot check, you can take any of the projects that we have listed and go and see what work is being done in those areas. Scholar monitoring, we have the bus transport, the lender transport project. What has happened in the past, we would find that there is allegations that the bus did not come or the bus is not in good condition. We have employed 431 people to date that just monitor that the bus did arrive to school. It was not overloaded. These people are not traffic officers, but they give us information as a department so that we know and we can verify the position. Whatever public safety, if they were to impound our buses, we would have been notified if that would be the case. So that is just another program where we create employment in the area. This is just the description in terms of the different localities where the buses are running. This is a contractor development program. Yeah, this is work which is probably worth less than, in some cases, worth less than 2 million. We give to small emerging contractors and they employ local people. To fix your traditional authority offices, they paint and do all sorts of things. But this is an entry into construction that we have created for the various people in the province. Once they've done this and they've done it successfully, then we start to allocate projects at a higher level. With the new treasury regulation, this program is going to have to be reconfigured in the manner it should be done. And we believe that treasury will assist us in terms of how do we do it, because it does contradict with the approach that you must advertise this, like this, and that. There's a number of things that are at stake with a kind of a developmental program like this one. I think I'm almost towards the end. This is the road. This is where I was talking about cutting trees on the side of the road, maintenance, clearing the veggies and everything. We buy the beneficiaries equipment, like your flashers and bush knives and everything, just to make sure they can go out and make sure their roads are clean. And this, to date, we have employed 4,867 people in these areas. This type of work, we work a lot with the municipalities, but the department is leading this program. There's a summary. I think I should have done well within the 20 minutes.
You've done very, very well. And went through it economically. All the members at East Radio outside, we're going to break now for 10 minutes, have a tea and comfort break. I hope you've noted your questions. After that, we will take Western Cape, and after that, the Free State, if we've got any input to make, and then we can deliberate on that. Let me try and adjourn at 12:15. Thank you.
Thank you.
funds that they are paying people who went to accident due to potholes and making claims from the department. How much have they spent so far on the claims and on the potholes and on the loss of life of anything as the grant tried to minimize that problem due to the whole
thank you, honourable members. We will now give the three provinces the opportunity to respond to the questions, and after that, we'll give Treasury an opportunity, and then we will conclude our meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. In front of me, I have our typical the business plan that we had submitted to National Department of Transport and the Department of Province, our provincial department. I'm still also concocting the numbers. But just in a nutshell, if I may start with the issue of the 12.9%, the discrepancy between our figures. The 12.9, I think, is translated into 65 million versus what we are saying, 101 million. There is a system that is used in the province. When you have, when you pay a service provider, it's not our department that actually pushes the last button and makes the money go through. That is done by provincial treasury. So all what we have given to treasury adds up to 101 million. And at the time of reporting, if they have picked up the difference, it will be specifically because maybe there's been lack of whatever, they've not been paid directly those people. But from our side, it's money that has already been spent. And also, we said that money, the difference, is because the provincial treasury assisted us with that difference. So in necessarily, national would not have given us that money. So I would say they are reporting on what is 100% to them, but to us, we have spent more than that number. I think, I don't know if I'm clear. There is an issue of who does the final payment, and I think National is probably going to talk to the provincial treasury in terms of what has gone through the system. And if at the time it has not gone through, we wouldn't know that. But we know there has been invoices generated, service providers to be paid, and that is how we report on our site. The other question was around, I've asked the chief if she can assist me with the two issues. The one was the cash flow projection. I understood your question, Chair, to be saying, what are we projecting for this, for the remaining financial year? Are we thinking we're going to be overspending? Are we going to be online? Or do we have challenges with both?
The monthly projection.
Yes. And the other one, I think I understood you to be saying what is the number of jobs we expect to create through this program. Can I ask the Chief Director to assist me on that one? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. With the number of market business plan, we did submit figures of our job creation targets. And that's what's in the slides of the presentation. Where we talk about the number of FETs that we have created. The title of the slide is called Progress on Job Creation. Those are our projects. In terms of the number stronger crowdfunding. That is outside the other job creation initiatives that we have within the program. And as for the cash flow, National Treasury said earlier on that we cannot overspend because the crowdfunding is a fixed amount. So we are stuck with the 501, even though we are aware that in terms of our demand of getting our infrastructure into an accessible condition, we actually need about 2 billion a year, and we are only getting
MEC took a position, there have been a number of issues competing with the filling of positions. That is the OSD, the payment of the OSD, the special skill. That was not, we were not given a budget to pay the employees who qualify for what is called OSD. And that created a problem in us trying to fill in the new position. But what the MEC 1st of July said is that we must submit all critical vacancies in critical components in the department. That is the transportation unit, the infrastructure unit, which is most basically your public works type of area, and the roads. So this is the three components that we would be advertising post for, as long as the post is funded and is in the structure. We're not going the route of saying critical. We are saying if it's in the structure, it has to be funded. So if it is funded and it's in the structure, it's critical. So basically, that is how our adverts are going to be looking like. I think there was a question also around the consultants, contractors that were terminated due to poor performance. This you can look at it in two ways. You might, in the course of any implementation, find that the contractor is failing to perform. Whether you would have evaluated correctly based on the criteria, the CIDB, and all sorts of things, it doesn't necessarily translate into good performance. This is just to say, based on what we have at our disposal, we believe the contractor will perform. But if the contractor goes and buys a Range Rover and prioritizes other things versus the project, we take it very seriously and we will terminate such contractors. So, and in addition, we have launched a big investigation in the 2009 financial year, 9-10, through PwC, these are PricewaterhouseCoopers, where we were trying to clean the mess in the road chief directorate. And that is because there has been a lot of commitments. I think I've mentioned that already, that we were oversubscribed. And in some cases, we picked up that a consultant will go and design a road that has been designed by another consultant. And we were just going around paying, assuming that it's a new design. So that has been dealt with, and we are continuing to recover. We believe that we are on that process of recovering from the nightmare that we've gone through. We, 2009, as an example, we terminated about 110 consultants that were working in our room. And that was a lot of commitment in terms of monetary terms. But on the other hand, these designs have become an advantage to us. As we terminate them, we look for value for money. And we ask a very difficult question: what is the design status? Can we make sense of what has been designed, or is it not worth anything? So that has been a process, but we've got credible records. It's done at the provincial level as well, not just a departmental issue. The premier is briefed on an ongoing basis. But if you were to zoom into the Northwest, you will understand even the people who were the drivers then has been suspended, not just suspended, have been fired also. So it's not just we suspend people and we just continue to pay them. And that is why we can talk about the new CFO who is here. He started in May, and also the chief director, they are also new. So I think that basically gives you a sense of what kind of challenges we've had leading to some of the terminations and the statements we have made around this program. The program managers at the time who were contracted to the department have also been terminated. We've since had a new group of project managers or program managers. So I think there is quite a lot I can say around the issue. I think the question on potholes and how much we are paying, I don't know if it was applicable to us necessarily, but I may just take a go at it. What we tend to do is we cannot accept being guilty until we are proven guilty with potholes. We do, however, have a very comprehensive list of claims that we have from the different corners in the province of the people. We then get the state attorney to engage on our behalf to assist us, whether, because it's very difficult to prove that it was not recklessness, what were the conditions. So it's not something we can immediately say in this book of claims that we have, we are going to translate all of them into a payment. So, but there are statistics to that effect. If I was to sponsor an item that is giving you a sense of what we are dealing with, we can show you. But in most cases, they don't translate into a payment. So that is a bit of a dilemma. That what you would see is just how much people are claiming, but to say whether they'll be paid that much, I wouldn't know. I can give you some trends what we have made. Thank you very much.
Thanks. On the question of the number of job squares that we projected, 1,946, and it was around 2,000 towards the end of the year. Currently, we are on just over 700 for quarter one. We need to note that this is actually worked out on about 50% of the grant, because the rest of the money is actually goes to our district municipalities and our regions, and they have their own staff and their own resources. And the way they report is through the equitable share, but maybe staff should give us more information on that. The BAS system, basic accounting system, basically picks up all the other stuff like the grants and so on.
Yes. Our major grant is 411 million, of which 160 million is going towards our regional offices. We have three regional offices, the five district municipalities acting as agents for those regional offices. Now, all the employment across our regional offices and the district municipalities is all permanent people. So in terms of the EPWP management information system, those are not measured as work creation. All permanent jobs are not measured as work creation. So we only measure whether there are temporary jobs, or other jobs going to contract, or there are temporary employees. So essentially, because 160 million of this 411 million comes out of our maintenance grant, we only got 250 million rand left, which we create temporary work. That 250 million then obviously can generate a certain amount of work. Maybe in the future we need to look at not having partial funding from the maintenance grant of our regional offices, but rather use our equity share funding to fully maintain our regional offices and make a cleaner cut. Thank you.
Then in terms of the base of reporting, obviously Treasury indicated 22% as the solicitor expenditure to that. That is actually for July. We've given you the August figure, or end of July figure, that was early July. Now, the figure we gave you was end of quarter one, which is 34%. Again, perhaps it wasn't picked up in our latest report, which we had sent to DLT. But our reports go via our provincial treasury to DLT. In terms of your interpretation of rehabilitation and whether it is maintenance, we fully agree. It's just that rehabilitation happens as a type of a crisis management type of maintenance approach. We ideally would like periodic maintenance to happen, say, every 5 to 7 years, and so that we rescue the road in terms of its design life and extend that time usefully. Yes, and then in terms of our interpretation of access roads, we fully agree that the Western Cape is not perhaps as rural as other provinces, and that we need to, as we spoke about the asset management system, we need to beef that up by including all the Department of Health and Department of Education stats and figures on where these hospitals are, where these schools are, the numbers and so on, so that we can address that carefully. We need to give you more information, sir. The problem is, who do we report to? There's always the issue. We have been giving a lot of information. work out a proper approach to all of this. Our vacancies, we had 40% technical vacancies. It's really, we are augmenting that with a graduate development program. We have 20 graduates currently in the system. They're being mentored by our partner companies, through SASEC and CETA, and through the South African Institute of Civil Engineering. So we are addressing this. That's a long-term approach where we have that. So we're also looking at creating contract units within our network branch to support the information side and sort of flatter delivery approach to sort of project management approach to what we're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Jefferson. Jefferson, the rope that the honourable member is talking about, that on the side of KZN, it looks like it's a priority, and they want to check on the Free State. It's a priority in the Free State, because it's part of this 23 route that we've got on an ambitious expedition in trying to do a road in the Free State. And the only thing that has created a problem there was once we've gone to that big venture, and there was a little bit of a shortcoming around issues of resources there, but we're looking into that very soon. But you see that to us also it's a source for concern that we must do it the other side of like the colleagues in KwaZulu-Natal. The question from Comrade Mguni, Chair, around the claims and the loss of life. It is a true, Chair. We have the 20 million grant roughly now, but we give a proper amount when we present our case. 20 million for the claims, tire, rim, and all those other things. But it's escalating on a daily basis. Weekend when everybody's rushing, and there are those kind of claims that exist there. And we are presently at a cost with about 60 million where there were loss of life, and which is a very serious matter that is going on there. But I'm sure very soon the situation will be a little bit better, because there's loss of life, and we go to go and contest the loss of life. It's not logic to anybody that sees a province going to court for roads that are not right, and then you go and defend so that you must probably pay less. You must never bring that person back and then who has died in roads that are not in good condition. But here, the biggest problem generally when I arrive in the department and observe quite glaringly, the National Treasury is right saying this grant is not a new grant. Whether it can be Sihamla Sonke, Sibuka Sonke, and all that, it's not a new grant. But the dilemma with this grant chair is that this grant, the infrastructure grant, has been going down, contract, with a complete inconsideration of the balance of ability, the balance of economies of scale of different provinces. You take the Northern Cape. I will never have a logic if I'm dealing with finance and saying the Northern Cape in their own licensing, generating income would be able to do the work in a vast province, poor as it is. And I say, I will give these people on basis of the number of people that are there. And I completely consider the poverty level then that I have to consider when I'm doing in provinces. I don't know what informs those, but if I have given opportunity to do with the budget, I would first look at the poverty band of this province and say, which provinces necessarily will not be able to look like the Western Cape, Gauteng, and KwaZulu-Natal. Then I'll be biased and deliberate to those. But National Treasury completely does not consider those things. To them, is how many people are there. And if millions, let's give them millions. How many people are in the Western Cape? 10. Let's give them 10 and all. And that doesn't necessarily help us in dealing with exactly the problem. there's a diminishing of the grant every day, changing its name. It doesn't have an impact to provinces, as I can say. But we're trying to grapple up with all those issues under circumstances.
Richard D.,
do
you want to add?
I don't know.
From Treasury?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for this. I think I want to respond to the last comments, except to simply say
we'll take it to Budget Council in the morning.
Currently, the provincial road maintenance grant is growing at double-digit level percentage each year, at least twice the rate of inflation, particularly for the Free State. But the issue around the business plan submissions and checking that, and what happened there, and where the gap, and the first quarter, I can now confirm, Chair, that we are meeting with the DOT tomorrow, so we will now be in a position to find out finally face to face as to what exactly is happening. So tomorrow we will discuss the issue with them at that time. Is now set. I think the other issue that's also been raised around the definitions, etc., the Western Cape have raised and other people. As I said, from our side, I mean, we can only forward to colleagues and to the committee, the strategic framework is endorsed by the National Department, the sector leader, which is the National Department of Transport. Issues of clarity around the definition, I'm sure everyone would agree, should be sorted out by the sector leader, by the people that are actually responsible for the overall strategy and program, which is the National Department. So those are things that I think, yes, we agree 100% they should be taken up. We should have clarity on that so that people know what they can and cannot do with the money, 100%. And I think the final thing is related broadly to discussions around the sufficiency of the grant, etc. I think it is important to point out to the community that even though there is a lot of value and it is necessary for us to do a detailed and focused analysis on the grant, it's also important for us to remember that the grant exists within a budget context for us. The grant for this year is something like 6.5 billion rand, but the overall road infrastructure budget in provinces is more than 16 billion rand. So in other words, as we said earlier, it is a Schedule 4 grant, which means that, in terms of the Division of Revenue Act, the law passed by this committee, Schedule 4 means it's a top-up. So there is an expectation that provinces should find money, and provinces have found money. They have been able to do it. It's in 6 billion, but the overall is 15 billion. And also remember that this is the sector which raises the most money for provinces in terms of own revenue. Motor vehicle license fees that these provinces charge motorists in the jurisdiction come to 5 billion rand a year. So there's a lot of things that we can look at in terms of the funding, and the grant exists within that particular context. And there's a lot of decisions as well that the sector can make about how to direct these various sources of funding with respect to priority areas in the province. Chair, I think I'll leave it at that. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Treasury. Thank you for a very informative meeting. We didn't address the issue of toll roads, but we'll come to that somewhere in the future. Other members, thank you for your presence. We will have a follow-up. That will be my proposal to Chairperson Chani. On this conditional grant, when we come back in October. That we have a follow-up on this grant.
Select Committee on Finance will meet at 2 o'clock until about 8 o'clock. Concurrent with our meeting is a plenary. On the order paper is questions on governance. The Deputy Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, Honorable Yusuf Karim, will reply to questions in the NCOP, and after that, he will come to our committee meeting. The reason for that is we're dealing with three municipalities of the Free State that didn't present when we visited the Free State from the 16th to the 19th of August, or some presented their presentations, but it was not in order with the committee. We were not satisfied. So we're calling them back. They are here tomorrow afternoon, as well as the MEC, so Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs in the Free State. Now, I've looked at our membership here, who's present. Honorable Lees, you were in the Free State when we visited there. Myself, Honorable Kuni, you were present in Bloemfontein. Honorable Motsisi was there, and Honorable Mashiri were there. You were there. Between Honorable Makubela and Honorable Bloom, the two of you must decide which one will attend tomorrow's meeting here, please. Honorable Makubela, you are indicated by Honorable Bloom. And the Prince of Prince Zulu. Yeah, we are very honored because the Prince is now commenting. Prince Zulu, if you could be present, that we can deal with these three municipalities. On the 22nd and the 23rd of September, there will be a People's Assembly in Mangaung. So our meeting tomorrow and the report of our oversight versus will form part of the basis for this People's Assembly. Because we were, I think, the last committee to go there regarding local government issues. So that's the importance of tomorrow afternoon's meeting. So we rely on your presence, honorable members. 2 o'clock, there will be a dinner served as well as a transport to the different villages. Mr. Grenter, we see into that. To the Secretariat, thank you for your assistance in helping us to do this meeting. Everyone present, if you drive safely, this meeting stands adjourned.